Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with a maximum opportunity to succeed. Let me tell you who our special guest is. His name is Jeff Zabar. He's the author of Home Office Know-How, Get Organized, Stay Focused, Have Fun, and Succeed. He's a work-at-home freelance journalist specializing in marketing, telecommuting, and small office, home office topics. And he has been with us before, and now he's back. Jeff, welcome back.
Jim, good morning. How you doing?
I'm great. It's good to have you back with us.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Let's have some fun. What do you think?
I'm up for it. It's Monday. Let's rock and roll.
Absolutely. Jeff, earlier in the show, I told my audience that you were joining us, and we were going to be talking about some advanced home office issues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that we talk about on the show when we talk about home office are for people who are getting started. Maybe they haven't even started a home-based business yet. They're just thinking about it. And a lot of the things you and I are going to talk about today are good for those people too. But you and I also know that there are millions and millions of people who have been home-based for some time,
right.
And they are at a more advanced level. And
right.
Those are some of the things that you emailed me that you want to talk about are really kind of more advanced level home-based issues.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of who we talk to, Jim, I mean, I really categorize the group into two areas. Those who are in the honeymoon period, that is, say, 18 to 24 months, where you still got your adrenaline pumping, you've still got sort of the high of having made this break on your own,
mm-hmm.
and you can live with that. And also from a business plan sense, I mean, you got to give it a couple years to sink or swim before you start to say, look, this is a viable business, or no, I can't really be doing this. I think that once you get through that psychological barrier or that sort of threshold, then you start to settle down and you start to get into some of the areas where you may want to make the bigger investment in technology. You may want to buy some more of the hard goods and supplies and,
mm-hmm.
and foster some of the relationships that will sustain you for the long term, as opposed to not doing it front in fear of not knowing whether that's, you know, you're going to have something on your desk or in your office that ultimately you're going to head back to a regular office and not need anymore.
Absolutely. And I actually believe, though, that there is a third level, and that's actually one ahead of both of those two, and those are the people that are our next generation of home-based business owners. And those are the people who are driving to work right now. They've got a regular day job, but they've got something on their mind. They would like to have their own business, and the most logical thing for them is to think about being home-based. And they haven't done anything yet.
That's Horatio Alger in a nutshell, and that's who we all aspire to be. I mean, none of us successfully make this thing happen unless we have that dream that starts as a spark of an idea in the back of our heads and say, hey, we want to happen. You find that no matter what it is, I wanted to be a freelance journalist 10 years ago in February, and we made it happen. Other people say, I have a dream. I want to take this widget, this craft, this hobby, and I want to make it happen.
When you say February, you mean February of this year?
February of 99.
So you actually dreamed about being home-based for 10 years?
Well, no, I'm sorry. No, February of 89.
Oh, 89, okay, I'm sorry.
When I launched
okay,
my home-based enterprise.
How long did you think about that beforehand, though?
Well, you know, quickly, I had an editor who came on at a publication I was working at who was not taking me places, so to speak.
Right.
I felt that his predecessor was a wonderful person to work under and learn from. And then, as many of us find, you know, you say, I think I can do this better myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was probably 6 to 8 months. I mean, I had always grown up. My dad was sort of self-employed, and I had always grown up in that atmosphere. So when I got out into the working world and started humming, you know, everybody's working for the weekend in my
mm-hmm.
mind about trying to work toward Friday. It had probably been, you know, 6 months or a year that I said, you know what, this may be a go. And just everything aligned to make it happen right for my wife and I.
Well, I wanted you to, that time frame is important because I wanted people to hear that. And I like to have the guests on my show talk about how long they took. Some people took, you know, much longer than that. Some people did it immediately.
Well, I also know that, I mean, a friend of ours from around the corner here in our neighborhood in Fort Lauderdale area, he got canned on a Friday.
Yep.
So over the weekend, he thought about what he wanted to do as a business to launch his enterprise. So, I mean, not everybody has the luck.
I think we lost Jeff there for a second. One of the things that James is getting him back on, one of the things that happened to me, Jeff was mentioning that his friend got canned on a Friday, and he took the weekend to think about it. Some of you have heard me say that happened to me in '89 on a Monday. And at 8:30 on a Monday morning, I got a phone call that said that myself and several others were being downsized, and that's actually what happened. And I was a national manager. I was a national manager of a company, and we were downsized. And so at 8:35, I founded my consulting company, and that's what happens to a lot of people. One of the most important things that I like to do is I like to have these people. I like to have people. To say when they join me, I like for them to say how long it is that they have been planning to do their business. Many of you have heard me talk about small business owners and small business dreamers. I have actually had people say that I shouldn't use the word dreamers because I don't know why they think that that's not a good term. But to me, I think almost everyone out there is a small business dreamer. If you're not actually running your own business, you're a small business dreamer. Probably you're thinking about having your own piece of the action, your own little piece of the marketplace. And so, for those of you who are dreamers, I like for you to know that many people who start the small business, many times they've taken 6 months. As Jeff mentioned earlier, he mentioned he took 6 months to kind of decide what he wanted to do, and I had been thinking about it for a long time. But as Jeff said, like his friend was canned, as he said, was sacked, I was as well. And so I had been thinking about it, and when it happened to me, then I just made the move. That's kind of what happened to your friend, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it was. And again, the luxury of time affords some of us the opportunity to make things happen, and others don't get that opportunity. But still, we make it. We roll with the punches and make it happen.
Absolutely. Jeff, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jeff Zabar is our special guest. He's the author of Home Office Know-How, and we're going to be right back talking about what is the most empowering technology for your home office. 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you are a home-based business owner, if you are in any of the categories, Jeff says there are two. I think there are three. He probably would agree with me. And one is the dreamer, and level two is are those of you who are just starting out. You're in the first year or so of your venture, and then level three would be the people who are sort of leveled out a little bit, and you're actually being successful, and it looks like you're actually going to make it. And Jeff, I remember that. I remember when I said to myself, you know, I think I might make it. You know what? It was about a year.
Yeah.
Looks like I might actually make this.
You know, it took, if I look back on when we were growing this business, Jim, I always say we, because this is, in as much as I'm the one working from home, my wife is the one keeping the kids out of my hair, and she works. and early on, though, as a nurse, she was earning some pretty good money and supporting my ability to grow the business and my efforts to grow the business. So I always say we. But early on, I mean, it took about 3 years to make this thing a self-sustaining enterprise. And when I knew I started making it was when my Nintendo game started to flounder, because I got really good at Nintendo in those first 2 years, because I had a lot of downtime as I was. You know.
I wish you wouldn't tell people that, because I don't want them playing any games.
No, you know what? I use it as a joke, but as an example of what I did wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was not, you know, they have a saying in sales, just one more call.
You know, my computers have no games on them.
No, any of my
computers have no games on them.
Yeah, mine
because
have.
Because they are insidious. They're seductive and insidious. And if you have any downtime, you need to be thinking about your business. And as you say, I know that's what you learned.
Right, and that's something that I have one game that just came on the computer and I never use it because it's a pinball
yeah.
you know, cyber pinball.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays pinball nowadays?
Absolutely.
And I don't even surf the web except for research. There's nothing on there.
That's all that I do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you call the most empowering technology for the home office.
Well, I know that you and I have had a little debate over this in the past. I have always felt, even though the PC is a really strong tool, I don't feel necessarily that it is for everyone. I feel that the most empowering technology we have today is what's connecting us right now, which is the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that between the standard telephone set, the headset that I'm wearing right now that's
mm-hmm.
you know, making it comfortable, the phone that integrates the headset seamlessly, and then all the back office services or the Bell services that Bell South affords me, caller ID, memory call, the answering services, all the different functions and features that make my machine or my phone as functional as any machine in one corporate plaza downtown. I truly believe that's what sets us apart from myself 10 years ago, who all I had was a Trimline phone
mm-hmm.
and maybe call waiting, and that was it. So as I'm on the phone with you now, if someone beeps through, my machine picks it up, and if I've turned off call waiting, it picks up and says that I'm on the other line. Leave
mm-hmm.
a message. I will call you back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can change these messages. It's all digital, so it's all reliable. It's all crystal clear. It's not a machine that ages and the tape ages over time, so it gets hissy and crackly as people listen to it. It's reliable to the sense that I don't have to worry about whether it's going to lose a message, whether if I lose power it's going to go down. Even I'm in a hurricane area down here in Florida, and there have been two or three hurricanes that have come through since I've had my home-based business, or at least threatened, and I go on and I leave a message. I'm in Florida. We're being threatened by Hurricane blank. I will get back to you when I have an opportunity. Trust that I will be checking my messages remotely.
Now you're talking about paying for services offered by your carrier.
Exactly.
You're
through others. I mean, there are other vendors who provide voicemail services.
As opposed to a box somewhere that sits on your desk or something.
As opposed to a box, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although they do have now very functional answering devices from Sony and Toshiba and the like. But you have to pay a lot of money to get the ones that truly integrate with your phone system. And I'm not certain that there's many that will take the message while you're on the phone and
that's a good
provide
point.
That function out. Because that, Jim, when I was just launching my business, if I were on the phone with, say you were someone I had been working for a week to get an interview with, again, I'm a journalist, and I was on the phone with you and someone beeped through. Okay, do I get off with Jim and take that call? Who could that call be? I don't have advanced caller ID, so I can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with both call my answering, you know, my voicemail, as well as advanced caller ID, I can just look at my phone and I can say, oh, it's John Smith calling me. Let me get off with my buddy here.
We're not talking about anything important.
You got it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's really important, and that's what creates a seamless enterprise from frontline contact.
I agree with you, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how to integrate all that information into your PC and the advent of email, how that's affecting what Jeff was talking about. Jeff Sabar is our special guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. His book is called Home Office Know-How. We're going to tell you about how you can get it in just a minute when we come back after these messages. 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. One of my heroes is our guest this hour. His name is Jeff Sabar. He is a home-based business expert. He is a home-based business person. He knows all about it. And he's actually written a book called Home Office Know-How, Get Organized, Stay Focused, Have Fun, and Succeed. Jeff, where can we get this book?
You can get the book at a number of places. You can get it online at Amazon. You can get it online through my site, which is www.goinsoho.com. You can get it at Office Depot locations nationwide. You can get it at any major bookstore. The only thing I suggest you do is call in advance, because some may carry 6 copies and some may be sold out.
Yep.
And it's not Colin Powell's latest, so you cannot trust that they're going
to
have 100
copies.
Soon
to be a number one bestseller, though.
We're
right?
working on it.
Absolutely.
Your mouth to God's ear, my friend.
Home Office Know-How by Jeffrey D. Sabar. Check it out. You know, we were talking about what you were saying, that as far as you were concerned, the most empowering tool in the home office is the phone. And I don't disagree with me. Obviously, you cannot have a home-based business or any business without a phone. That is absolutely essential.
Right.
Now, it's just like we have to have food to eat and water to drink and air to breathe. You have to have a phone in your business. Now, So we got that out. Now, your point is well taken, which is that that you need also to have some of the advanced capability, because that makes it gives you not only capability, but it gives you an image that is much more professional than just you with the call forwarding the call waiting capability. But the thing, one of the things that's interesting to me, as we were talking recently, I had a conversation with Stephanie Denton, our professional organizer. And we were surmising how long it would be before we would have a paperless society. With the advent of email and the internet, I wonder how long it's going to be before we have a virtually voiceless society. And if you buy into any of that, what does that do to your argument about the telephone?
I firmly agree that we are. I mean, I spend at least, and it's growing day by day, but I spend at least an hour to an hour and a half reading and replying and sending email.
And these are these are productive emails.
Hey Jim, how's it going?
Yeah, these aren't annoying emails. These are things that make you productive. And if you had to do that on the phone, it might take you half a day.
Well, yeah, and I mean, because no one can say, hey, how you doing? What about that assignment? Hey, how you doing? Did you see my edit? You know, and
right.
then send
mm-hmm.
somebody an edit that you can then edit online with a service. Yeah, I mean, I would agree that I think that we have to make sure, though, that as much as we move forward with high tech and ones and zeros moving across copper or fiber optic lines vis-a-vis, you know, the internet, that we don't lose touch with the human aspect of business, because this is ultimately, I have editors who I work with who I'm very close with and have known for years, but it may not have spoken with in the past 6 months, and
mm-hmm.
everything's via email.
Yep.
I know their voice. They called me right now. I'd know immediately. Actually, they'd get my voicemail saying that I'm on the other line if they called right now,
mm-hmm.
but I would know immediately when I heard their voice who it was. But we have to make sure that we don't lose that connection, that we don't lose that very human touch of what business is all about. And I agree that we are very quickly moving toward a maybe not paperless, because I agree we will. I for one need to edit, you know, need
on
to
paper.
Sometimes feel and touch a document
exactly.
in my hand. But I think we're moving toward an era where we're going to move away from the necessity of the telephone proper as frontline communications, and everything will be shifted to digital.
Well, I use the word voice. I use the term voiceless, and obviously, when I said voiceless society, obviously I was just making the point that the more communications I have via email, the less that I have to have by telephone, by voice.
Go ahead. I was going to say your point is well taken, also that voice conversations can be they can blossom, and that's
yeah.
a wonderful thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a very time consuming thing. And we need to make sure that which we focus on in business is, you know, if you've ever sat down in a business meeting, as I have with execs who are no fat to their conversations, they're like,
mm-hmm.
what are we here for? You know,
rapid
five to the pleasantries, then let's get to the chase.
Yep.
That's the way we need to conduct our business, unless we're trying to woo a big account. Hey, as long as they want to talk on the phone, I'm willing to talk, you know.
Another thing about email that makes it so convenient is, let's say that you send me an email today at 3:30, and I'm really busy, and I see the email, and I know that you want me to respond to you, and I have information that I want to send back to you, but it doesn't have to be this minute, and it also doesn't have to be before I leave my office at 5 or before you shut your home office down and go to dinner with your, have dinner with your family, start your family time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be later on, because so what I do is I take my laptop home with me. And while I'm watching television or relaxing a little bit, it's in my lap, and I'm dashing off a three-sentence response to your email, which I may send to you at 9 o'clock tonight. You may get it in the morning, and it's just as valid and as beneficial for you to get it tomorrow morning as it would have been if I'd called you at 5 today, you know, the day before.
Right.
And so it really makes us more productive. And that's a classic example to me of how email makes me productive.
Well, I think any dedicated home-based worker out there, or the spouse of one, the worker would say, you're totally right. The spouse would say, when does it stop? Because I've gotten into the habit now of leaving my PC on around the clock. There are those who believe that turning it off does more damage than just letting it run and dimming the monitor or turning off the monitor or whatever the case may be.
But, you know, how many times have I been there with my family and somebody's knitting while they're watching television, somebody's doing homework or
right.
something else? You know, so what? I've got the laptop in my lap.
It's all
background. Yeah. Stand by. We're going to be right back, folks. It's 39 after the hour. Jeff Zabar is our special guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jeff Zabar is our special guest. He is the author of Home Office Know-How. It's available online at Amazon. Is that right?
At Amazon, yes. And probably Barnes & Noble as well. Any major bookseller would have it.
And your website, which is?
GoinSoho.com.
Spell it.
GoinSoho.com.
All right. And, folks, my website, if you can also link to Jeff from my website off the guest page, is SmallBusinessAdvocate.com. And our phone number, by the way, is 888-822-8255 if you have a question for Jeff. Jeffrey, talk to us about some. I know you've got some new e-zines that you've got coming out. Tell us about those.
Yeah, a friend of mine who I've met online, as the internet has done, it creates all sort of cyber relationships and cyber partnerships. A man named David Drucker, who runs fathersworld.com, just as it sounds, spoke to me. He's a work-at-home dad, and we sort of talked about the experiences we had, and so we got together and we launched a website called workathomedad.com. It's actually WAHD.com. It's up now. It's just a splash page. We're going to put up some more content, but what's more important is there's a subscription form there that people can get the Work at Home Dad newsletter put out by what we call ourselves the Top Pops. The two guys behind this, this is not hours to run. We just sort of organize it. We want other work-at-home dads out there to submit content.
You're developing a community.
We're developing a community, and that's, Jim, that's what this whole thing is all about.
Exactly right.
You can't
have too many opportunities. You know, it's sort of like all the different flavors of ice cream, you know. I mean, there are a lot of people out there doing e-zines like you're talking about. You can't have too many of those. Find one that suits you. That's the reason we're all different. Find one that suits you and get the most information that you can and learn and develop communities of your own. My hat's off to you, Jeff, for developing these e-zines. That's a very, very noble thing, and it's a good thing. The marketplace needs it. Small business needs this.
Well, you know what's interesting, Jim, is I know you're going to have someone on, a guerrilla marketing expert, later on.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's all about is we now have the tools to do this, and your ideas and the idea about what the PC can do for us. It not only makes me a writer, a bookkeeper, a communicator, it makes me a marketer. And I started with CompuServe years ago creating my e-zine called Home Office Success Stories. And so by creating this e-zine, just blasting it out to 20, to 50, to 100, to 200, now hundreds of people, it creates a marketing tool around which all of my content is enveloped, so to speak. So I have an article that just came out today in the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel on the demographics and sort of the snapshot of the at-home worker. I blasted it out today on my e-zine. You can click this link and go straight to the Sun Sentinel and take a look and see what that article is all about. And it's a wonderful tool.
Give us that address.
Sure. The address is over at the Sun Sentinel. So it would be www.sun-sentinel, sun-sentinel.com/money/802 for August 2nd, 802home.htm.
All right.
And they can go online and read the article and more than read.
But
if they sign up
for your e-zine, that link will be on your e-zine.
Exactly. Now, my e-zine already went out today, but if I see anybody who's signed up.
But the next one, they can go sign up for the next one, and all they got to do is go to your website to get that, right?
Exactly.
Talk to us about what you had in that article.
The article spoke about who is working from home today. There's a lot of research taking off right now about who's working from home, and a lot of the research is looking at us, home-based workers, from the perspective of marketers, people who want to target us. But we're learning a lot about who we are. First off, majority of us are male. We're still about 55 to 56%.
The majority of work-at-home people are male.
Are male. We're about 55 to 56% of that community is male.
Did not know that.
Yes. But women are growing by 1% per year. So in about 5 years, we'll have parity, and women will continue to grow. And this is what some of the research is showing. It's also showing that the average age ranges from about 38 years old to about 43 to 45 years
mm-hmm.
old, slowly skewing younger. But again, it's everybody, but it's going to continue to skew younger for two or three reasons. One, because people are gaining knowledge much quicker in the workplace. They can take these skill sets. Say you're an analyst for Anderson Consulting, or you're, you know, someone at a consulting firm. You're able to take that knowledge that you've gained in 2 to 3 to 4 years post-college and immediately jump out. You've built some contacts and potential clients, networked with people, so you can take that those skills off-site and do it on your own.
Why do you think, is there any, you have any rationale or any logic behind why there are more men than women on, that are home-based now?
Well, I think that the part of what we've seen is that I think it's been a bigger trend where men have been doing this and maybe have made the leaps. A lot of people who have been laid off from corporate America were more tenured, and maybe it was more men who in the past 10 to 20 years have been 5 to like 8 million layoffs in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think a lot of those people may have been older, and they, by nature, I think would have been skewing more toward male than female, and that may be happening. But what you're finding is a lot more women are making the leap. Historically, women in the past at least 10 years have wanted to be at home as a family concern to find that workplace balance. Now you have a lot of men like myself and the other work-at-home dads who are trying to, again, find this balance. You're seeing all those demographics shift before your eyes.
Yeah. Very good information, Jeff. Thank you for that. Stand by. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back to wrap up the hour with Jeffrey Zabar, author of Home Office Know-How. It's available online. Check it out. We are back. It's 54 after the hour. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jeffrey D. Zabar, Z-B-A-R is how you spell his last name, and he's the author of Home Office Know-How. Jeffrey is our special guest and our good friend. We've been talking about some advanced home-based business issues, and Jeffrey, in the Sun Sentinel newspaper, you have an article today about some of the demographics of home-based business owners, and you were telling us, you just got through telling us that home-based business owners are majority male, but the women are moving up with a bullet.
Right.
And what are some other demographic information you found?
Well, again, the age is 39 to 43 or 44, so it shows that they're in a spendable bracket. They have a very good decision-making power. They have disposable income. We found that some of the research that's out now shows that the household incomes of these average at about $57,000 a year. Now, some people said to me, that's not a lot of money, but that's average. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to understand, well, some of these people are making $20,000 and some of these people are making $120,000.
Well, and also on the age thing, I mean, I speak to a lot of people who are home-based who are in their 60s and 70s,
right,
believe it or not.
Right. And so, as we just said a moment ago, I mean, a lot of people, one of the people I interviewed runs a general contracting firm. He's 30 years old. He said, if I knew then what I know now, I would have gone home-based the moment I left college.
Right.
So, I mean, there is no reason, and we're finding more and more people are doing this. Among the other statistics that we find is that one of the bits of research from International Data Corp up in Massachusetts found that the average home office obviously is laden with technology.
Mm-hmm.
They said in 96, a quarter of home office households had internet access. Now it's over 65%, more than two-thirds of home office households, that was actually last year, had internet access. You would almost think it's more, but again, a lot of these people are just doing little widgets. They're doing a craft,
right,
doing a hobby. They're selling to their local market, and they're marketing through other ways rather than the internet.
Let me throw another piece of statistic in here my audience has heard me say this two or three times in the last couple of weeks, but I just think it's a staggering number. The United Nations has estimated that there are 178 million people online worldwide right now.
Amazing.
By 2001, they're projecting that 700 million people will be online in the next 18 to 24 months.
That's amazing.
I can't say that number enough. It just blows me away. And to me, if that doesn't make you, if you're not online, if you don't have a website, if you're not represented somehow on the internet, that number to me ought to make you go out and say, no matter what happens today, I'm going to start the process to make that happen.
And there is no reason. Cost is no longer an issue if you assume that you are, A, going to have an email account somewhere, and, B, that you're going to have to pay that fee for hosting of an email account. So I go to AOL or I go to my local Cybergate in my market down here and pay them $20 a month to have an email account. Many of them are giving you 10 meg hosting site free.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And so there's no reason why if you don't, and my brother, for example, launched his own website for antique glass, for like Vaseline glass and oil lamps. He launched his site, and he learned HTML himself. Now, he's never been computer savvy. Mm-hmm. He sat down over one weekend and learned HTML. And so it doesn't have all the dancing baloney, as they call it, with dancing GIFs and things like that.
But he's represented.
He's well
represented.
He's
got the first generation, and you can't get to the second generation until you have the first generation.
You got it.
Jeff, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did a great job. Thank you very much for sharing your information on home-based business. Jeff Sabar, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Home Office Know-How.
Jim, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Take care.
Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.